Welcome to a special edition of Listen Up Bay Area on KBLX Cares. I'm sitting in for Sterling James today. My name is Jerry Dove. I am your host. I've got three young men in here with me today. Ashanti Branch, he's a founder and executive director. Lorenzo Cooper, he's a program officer. And Devin Williams is a freshman, been with this program for 3 years. The program I'm talking about is the Ever Forward Club. Good morning to you, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning, hey.
Good morning.
All right, let's start with you, Ashanti. Since you're the founder and executive director, what is the Ever Forward Club?
Ever Forward is a mentoring program for young men in middle school and high school. We provide a safe space for young men to talk about the stuff that society tells our young men that they can't talk about, like how you're feeling, like what's going on in your life for real. Ever Forward was started in 2004 when I was a teacher at San Lorenzo High School. And since then, we've expanded a little bit to support not only professional development for teachers, because sometimes the challenges with our young men in classes happens because their teachers don't really know how to work with them in a good, healthy way. And so we support teachers and parents and sometimes even community workers and social workers. Our other program is Transformative Experiences called Taking Off the Mask, which is our signature workshop. Mm-hmm. And through that campaign is also the 100,000 Mask Challenge. So, you know, we've started as a program, as a teacher, just trying to help some young men pass algebra, and it's grown to become this organization.
So you call it a club. So does it mean, is it still on campus or is it at other schools or how's that working?
Yeah, so I'm no longer a teacher. I'm actually running the organization. So we run at right now about 5 schools. By the end of this school year, we'll be at 10 schools.
Nice.
So we run the clubs at different schools around the Bay Area. So we train a educator, teacher, parent, volunteer from either school to then work with those young men on a weekly basis as a mentor.
And it's an elective club like Spanish, BSU, all those kind of clubs, that kind of thing?
Yeah, it's not a grade. You wouldn't get a grade. It'd usually be after school. So it usually fits in the after school kind of program model. But the workshops that we do, schools bring us in to do those during the school time. And then for those young men who feel like this is a powerful workshop, I really want more of this in my life, then they can volunteer, you know, because we want it to be volunteer. If you're going to be in a space where you weekly check in about how you're feeling and talking about some real stuff, you can't really make it mandatory. And so we tell schools, like, you can make the workshop mandatory, but when students join the club, they know that they're coming to a place where I can just be a little bit more myself. And that's what's been really powerful.
So how did you know back in 2004 that this was needed? How did you make the decision to stop being a teacher and start this club?
I had left an engineering career to become a teacher. And so it was my first year teaching.
So your parents have told you you're crazy a couple of times then, right?
Oh, I've heard from lots of friends who are still making quite a bit of money right now.
Right.
But what I realized was that at first year teaching was that there was a young men in my class that were really smart. They were smarter than I was at their age, but they were failing my class. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, you can't fail my class. Like, if you want to fail somebody's class, fail one of these other teachers' class who don't like you. But I like you, and I'm here for you. And what I realized from those young men is that I did everything I could as a teacher to try and reach them, but that wasn't enough. And so I invited these young men to lunch, about 12 young men. I said, look, I'll buy you lunch once a week. Exchange for lunch, teach me how to be a better teacher. Mm-hmm. Like, tell me what I'm doing wrong, because I'll fix it. Like, you should not be failing my class with a teacher who's totally here for you. And what they began to talk about was that it's not cool to be smart. Like, mm-hmm. they use the words like nerd, geek, teacher's pet.
Right.
So therefore, if you're thinking that everything about smart is negative, then you act in ways that will show that you're not smart. And I remember that that's how I used to act in middle school.
Yeah, peer pressure is so real. So
huge.
Real.
Huge.
First thing you got to do is self-esteem, so you don't worry about peer pressure and all like that. So,
that's right.
Lorenzo, I'm going to assume that's where you come in. You're a program director, a program officer. So what does that mean?
Because we're in different schools and we train different educators to kind of run or facilitate our weekly meetings, I help those mentors with their circles and support their young men in whatever way that they need. I kind of got involved through going to San Lorenzo and being a part of the Ever Forward Club. So I have a different kind of an outlook because I'm really young and still trying to figure out my role as a program officer and a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that I'm still in the process of
figuring out. You know, it's tough to be as young as you are and to be one minute you want to be their friend or friendly, and then the next minute you're kind of their boss.
Yeah.
You know, I remember when I was one of my first jobs I had as a teenager, I was working at it used to be called Thrifty's, and I was Rite Aid. And when you work at Thrifty's, everybody's Mr. or all the manager are Mr. or Mrs. And I was an 18-year-old kid, and I'm just running the ice cream counter. You know, one day the manager decided he liked me and wanted me to manager, be an assistant manager. So I took the test, and I got the job. And now all of a sudden I go from Jerry the ice cream guy to Mr. Dove, telling these people who've been working there longer than I've been alive. And it was tough.
It's funny tough. You say that because in 2010, when I graduated from San Lorenzo High School, mm-hmm. I instantly started working for In-N-Out Burger, which is a great company.
Yeah.
But I was flipping burgers for 6 years of my life.
Right.
And throughout, still working with Ever Forward, and Ashanti has been kind of like my dad soon as I got into Ever Forward and to when I graduated. So he's constantly been helping me out. So when he offered me the job to be program officer, it was like, are you sure?
Am I ready for this?
Yeah. I do professional development for teachers. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that builds my confidence, but it also sometimes restricts my confidence because I don't necessarily feel qualified to do it. But mm-hmm. I know I'm an expert at dealing with emotions mm-hmm. and dealing with like real life issues. I don't have a doctorate. I don't have a PhD in psychology or anything like that, but mm-hmm. I think I'm pretty good at telling what's real and what's fake.
You know what it is, Lorenzo? Sometimes it's easier to tell somebody what they should be thinking as opposed to teaching it to yourself. You know, so the same things you're telling other people, you got to tell it to, or have someone like Ashanti tell it to yourself.
Yeah.
Now, we got to get Devin in here. Sit up to that mic and tell us about your experiences from the sixth grade to now a ninth grader at San Lorenzo High School with the Ever Forward Club. What's going on with you?
I'm doing great in the Ever Forward Club. Ever since sixth grade, I was childish, not listening, bad. Ever since I've been going to Ever Forward Club, I grew up and I've been going everywhere with them.
So what kind of things do they teach you to help you grow up?
They teach me like academic stuff,
mm-hmm.
like, and they teach me my confidence in myself, and they teach me like be smart, like don't go with the crowd and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Be yourself.
So you're in the ninth grade, right? Going from middle school to high school. Now all of a sudden we're seniors and 18-year-olds and 17-year-olds. And
It's not hard, but it's like 50-50.
Okay, all right. Here's what I'm seeing with you is that first of all you're hanging out with grown-ups, which mm-hmm. is good. And what did you do when your friends started telling you, okay, man, it's not cool to be smart? Like he was just saying, it's not cool to be smart. What do you tell them? What would you tell a young Devin, if you had a friend of yours or a little brother or a little cousin or nephew that was in the sixth grade, that you could see that he's going down the wrong path, what would you tell him?
Join Ever Forward Club and be yourself.
Hey, thanks for spending part of your day with us. This is a special edition of Listen Up Bay Area on KBLX Cares. I'm Jerry Devon. I'm your host. We got three guests in today. Ashanti Branch, he's the founder and executive director of the Ever Forward Club. Lorenzo Cooper, the program officer at the Ever Forward Club. And young Devin Williams, who's a freshman, been with the program since he was in the sixth grade. So, fellas, tell me this again. What is the 100 Mask Challenge? You touched on that a little bit earlier, Ashanti. Tell us a little more about that.
When the Ever Forward Club was featured in a documentary called The Mask You Live In, which is about masculinity and basically how this hyper-masculine narrative of what it means to be a man in America is failing our boys, how that media, TV, videos tell our young men or boys how they have to act, which limits them very much in how they can just show up as more authentically themselves. Our boys walk around with these masks pretending like they don't feel. Because we've been totally taught the feeling out of them.
Wait, you literally have a mask on?
Men have a metaphorical mask.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I show the world that I'm funny, I'm happy, I'm athletic, I'm super tough, I'm strong, I'm all these things. But when do I talk about the fact that I'm afraid about things? When do I talk about sadness? When do I talk about feeling vulnerable or scared? Or I was taught that men don't cry. I was taught that men don't become afraid. Mm-hmm. So what do you do with that? What do you do with those emotions? And a lot of our young men just bottle them up. And, you know, 93% of people incarcerated in the United States are men. And I don't think that men are inherently bad. Numbers would say men are bad. That's why there's so many of them in jail. But I think that when men are boys, we teach humanness out of them. And so they don't feel. There's nothing wrong with them going to do some incredibly dangerous and destructive behaviors because we've told them, man up, suck it up, grow some whatever we tell them to grow. Mm-hmm. And they often feel like they can't be all themselves.
You have to start so much younger now, too. Now, I'm older than probably all three of you combined, but you're supposed to say, no, I'm not. So let's try. But,
no, you're not.
Okay, very good. Thank you. But when I was growing up, our family structure was kind of in place. My dad was in the Air Force, for that matter. So a lot of family structure in place, and you wouldn't see the problems until maybe later in high school. But now I know you got to reach kids. We're in the sixth grade and the fifth grade. And how young have you started reaching out to kids?
Yeah, we're getting invited into elementary schools now.
Wow.
Principals are seeing that their boys are really showing these behaviors that are becoming dangerous on the playground. So the 100,000 Mask Challenge was this this big goal of ours. After the documentary came out, we began to do these workshops all over the country called Taking Off the Mask, which we did in groups of 50 or 70 or, you know, smaller groups. And then we trying to figure out how can we just make it have more impact. And so we set this goal of collecting 100,000 masks from all over the world. Mm-hmm. So people would draw a mask. They would think of like, what are the qualities I show the world on the outside? And then what are the things I don't talk about much? And we have a little tool for them to use. They can download it from our website. But that tool, so far we've collected, with the cards, we've collected about 5,000 masks.
Wow.
In total, about 17,000. So we got about 80,000 more to go.
And where are you putting all these masks?
Well, right now we're curating them on our website. We're beginning to work with some data engineers to kind of help us. How do we show people what it is? But when people see a mask, when you go, they look at a mask and they see somebody else's mask, it resonates so much with a lot of people, whether they're in the fifth grade or whether they're 45 years old. We've seen people look at these masks and be like, oh, wow, that's powerful. And it's because we sometimes lose a human connection. We live in the mask where our social media world sometimes causes us to, like, everyone is doing great except me, because we only know our own problems.
Right.
And sometimes we don't have a safe place of talking about our stuff in a healthy way, you know. And that's what the 100,000 Mask Challenge is, the goal to start to do.
How do I get my kid involved, or my nephew, or how do we do that?
Well, you can send them to our website, everforwardclub.org. And that's where they can fill out a form and say, hey, my child's school needs this. They can connect us with that. They can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. All of our handles or addresses at @everforwardclub on all of those outlets. We want the community involved. Like, we've been here since 2004 doing this work, and it's finally starting to get more recognition that it's a need. And so we're looking forward to our community reaching out. We would love everyone in the Bay Area to make a mask and submit it to us and let us show this data and show this information to the world, because the more that we can begin to hear each other, I think we can build deeper
communities. Are the masks on the website now?
Yeah, there are some masks already curated.
So tell me again, everforwardclub.org.
That's correct. That's the website.
Okay, Lorenzo, you said you were in the program. Now you're a program officer.
Yes, sir.
How long were you in the program?
I was in the program all 4 years of high school, so from 2006 to 2010.
And so how long have you been working there now?
Officially came on as a program officer in 2016. So I've been officially a program officer for about a year now, or going over a year.
Give me a quick success story of somebody. You don't say their name. Just somebody that you've seen grow, like Devin here, that you've just seen and said, yeah, that kid right there, he's going to be all right now.
Actually, a lot of them. Because,
that's good to hear. I like that.
So when I first started, I was also really scared and I was really new. I didn't know what I was doing. So my first meeting had about 2 students. After we'd grown, like, a lot of my students who were there when I had like a first full meeting with about 15, they're still with us. And one of my students, he was failing 5 out of 7 classes when I first met him. I just started reaching out to him more, building a more personal relationship with him now that that student is a senior, like, on their way to college, and to be able to say, like, I helped that person get to that level. So when I see him walk the stage, I know Ashanti's seen many students walk the stage. So this would be like my first,
this would be your guy,
my
this
first guy who I was like, you know, I helped him get from one point to another point, and I'm really excited.
That's
for
great.
Him.
You should be excited. Good for you.
We want to give a shout out to Roxy. She's one of our board members, our newest board member. She's from Full Circle Fund. The folks from the Representation Project who created the documentary, The Mask You Live In, they really just began to open up the doors for us on the platform. One of our supporters from way back when I was in engineering, his name is Miles. He's at the San Francisco Zen Center, and they've just really provided some support and care for us and our organization. As we're growing from being a volunteer-run organization to now, an organization that hires and has a staff, there's a lot of people who've been on this journey with us, but I'm super thankful for you all having us here today, because you help us get the word out to what we're doing.
Well, congratulations on what you're doing.
Thank you.
Ashanti Branch, Lorenzo Cooper, Devin Williams, thank you guys for being here today, okay?
Thank you for having us.
That's going to do it for us here at KBLX Cares. I'm your host, Jerry Dove. My producer, Carlos, promises this show will be up by Saturday afternoon. Be sure to listen to us next week, and until we speak, let's all release, make peace, and move forward.